and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we begin these verses, we discover that Jesus is God. When we end these verses, we discover that Jesus is Lord. Listen to me. A lot happened between verse 6 and verse 11, but nothing was lost. Hear me now. Nothing was lost, and much was gained. God became flesh. I'm going to give you a little outline that is not my own. I borrow it from another servant of God, but I don't know how we could get a better outline. Let me tell you what God, the eternal Son of God, did on Christmas Day. Number one, he abandoned a sovereign position. Look at verse 6 again. Who being in the form of God, in outward expression God. I'm not going to labor the point this morning, for I'm speaking mostly to members of New Testament Baptist Church and those who are habitual attenders here, and you know what the Bible teaches. Without any doubt, the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He was in the beginning with God, and he was God, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and it was light, and that light was the life of men, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's very God of very God. But what happened on that night is that he abandoned a sovereign position. The word sovereign means supreme. It means a ruling position. It's identified with a throne. And Jesus sat on a throne. He had all right and all power and all authority over all things that the world has ever known. And he left it behind. He abandoned a sovereign position. Number two, you'll notice he accepted a servant's place, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. The King of heaven did not give up his throne there to have a throne here. He gave up his throne there to become a slave here. He adopted a servant's place, and literally speaking, in the language of the Greek, it would mean he became a slave. He took not only the man's position, but he took the lowest position a man can take. He abandoned a sovereign position, accepting a servant's place. Number three, he approached and associated with a sinful people. The Bible says that he was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, in every single aspect other than sin, Jesus Christ became man. He associated with those who were known to be criminals and crooks and liars and thieves and adulterers. He came and was not distinguished outwardly in any way other than his obedience to the Father from the other men. And he came to approach those men and to live among those men and to associate with those men. And that bothered a lot of people because they complained that he spent his time with sinners. Are you with me now? What happened? He abandoned a sovereign position. He accepted a servant's place and approached a sinful people. And number four, he adopted a selfless posture. By the way, that's what a slave does. That's what a servant does. A true slave or true servant has no self-will, but abandons himself to the will of another. Being found in fashion as a man, verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why does Paul add the words, even the death of the cross? Because all men die, but the most violent of death, the most painful of death, the most humiliating and shameful death known to man in that day was crucifixion. And Jesus humbled himself. He took a selfless posture. But you'll notice as we end in the fifth place, he ascended a supreme prince. What's God's reaction to his son abandoning his sovereign position, accepting a servant's place, associating with a sinful people, and adopting a selfless posture? The Bible says in verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, having given you that outline, I want you to think with me. We begin with him in a sovereign position. We end with him in a sovereign, exalted position. But in between, something marvelous happened. All of his entire life on earth, from the moment he was born, the moment he exited the womb of his mother Mary, until the moment that he rose triumphant from the grave, or until the moment they nailed him to the cross, he was in a selfless position. He was in a servant's posture. He was among a sinful people, and yet he lost nothing. Now listen carefully. In verse number 5, or in verse number 6, we're told that who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I'm not going to give you a language lesson this morning, but in the Greek language, there is an idea here that we look at this word robbery and we think we don't really understand that. So we investigate a little bit and we find out that it's a word in the Greek which has two possible meanings or two possible ideas. We're talking about this. Number one, the idea of seizing something or snatching something. You see something and you want it, so you reach out and you grab it, you seize it, you snatch it, you take a hold of it and pull it away, or if you please, pull it to yourself. The other way in which this word is translated or used in the Greek daily living is to have something and you hold on to it, refusing to let it go, clinging to it or clutching it so that no one can take it from you. I want you to think about both interpretations of that phrase in reference to Jesus. What does the Bible say to us in the first part of the verse? Who being in the form of God, what do we know? He is very God of very God. He's the eternal one. He did not have to seize it. He did not have to snatch it. There was one who was a created being who was created by the Lord Jesus. His name was Lucifer, and he saw this thing of being God and being God-like, and he wanted it. And the Bible said he reached out to snatch it, to seize it, to take it away. It was his ambition to be like God, and it was something that he had to snatch and seize away, but he couldn't take it from God, and he was expelled from heaven. Then he came to earth and he influenced Adam and Eve, the first creation of God among men, and they too tried to seize Godhead. He said, you can be like God. You don't need God. You can be as God, knowing good and evil. And they were attracted by that same potential, and they reached out to be like that. In other words, trying to take the throne, trying to have the power, trying to have the position, trying to have the authority. Jesus did not have to do that. He was God. Are you listening to me? But the second aspect of that word is that he did not have to hold on to it. It wasn't something that he had to hold on to at all costs. And it doesn't matter that sinful men and women are under the judgment of an eternal God, are going to spend an eternity in an eternal hell. It doesn't matter that he has to give up the throne. He gladly gives up the throne, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, not something to be seized at and held on to at any cost. But he gave it up, made himself of no reputation. My heart has been burdened this Christmas season with one particular word, and that's the word peace. And we talked about that last Sunday morning, and I talked about it to the seniors, and I'm talking to you about it again today. Imagine with me three scenarios in the progression of life. We have two little children. Have you ever seen children with toys or possessions? Have you ever witnessed a fight? A squabble over possessions. One of them looking at it as a prize to be snatched, to be grabbed at, to be taken away to himself. And the other one saying, it's mine, you can't have it, and I'm going to hold it at all costs. Doesn't matter you're my brother, my sister, no matter I'm supposed to love you, doesn't matter, it's mine. So the one looking at it as something to be grabbed and to be taken, and the other one looking at it as something never to be let go. Are you with me? It doesn't stop with children. We get to the teen years, the middle years, and now it's not possessions as much as it is position. We want to be the captain. We want to be chosen first. We want to be the head cheerleader. We want to be, we want authority. We're beginning to move toward that adulthood and independence, and we want to make the decisions, and we want to do what we want to do. And so we're concerned about position, and we're all conscious about looks and about how people perceive us and all of those things. And some of us have some talent given of God and are naturally elevated to some kind of position, and we hold on to it as something that we should never, ever surrender, and we're not about to surrender it. And there are others who don't have it and want it, and they think their life is not worthwhile if they don't have it, so they're reaching out to grab it and they're trying to snatch it and take it away. And so we have conflict between men, both children and teenagers, and then we get to adulthood, and now it's not so much possessions, although that does become a problem, and not so much position, but power. Who's in charge? Who gets to make the decisions? Who's right? Who's wrong? Who gets to lead? And some of us have our ideas and we have our concepts and our opinions, and we are not about to surrender them. I don't care who you are or what you say or what it costs the church or what it costs the home or what it costs my family or what it costs my relationship. I'm not about to let it go. And others who want the power, who want the position, who want the privilege, who want the attention, and they're going to do anything they can to get it. Are you listening to me? You know what happened here? Look at this. We look at a babe in a manger. This is God, a very God. This is the one who has all possessions, all power, all authority, all position. Willing like that to let it go. Willing like that to become a servant. Not just a servant, a slave. And associate with sinful people for the entire length of his human life. Why? Because he knew that possessions could not be taken from him nor added to him. His life would not be made any better by possessions, or his life would not be made any poorer by the lack of them. He is the very God. He had control. I'm saying to you, we get this idea in our mind, and this is especially tragic in the lives of believers, that we get the idea that we're going to lose something by giving in. We're going to lose something. We think that things define who we are, and if we don't have those certain things that others have, it diminishes us, and that we can't be happy without them. But Jesus tells us that's not so. God reacted to Jesus and highly exalted him. And the scripture says again and again that whoso humbleth himself shall be exalted. I'm saying to you, when are we going to stop the fighting? When are we going to stop the warring? When are we going to stop? When are we going to realize what happened at Bethlehem? We like to exalt Jesus. We like to honor Jesus, but we don't want to be anything like Him. We're not about to give up the throne. We're not about to surrender a right. We're not about to let somebody else make the decisions. We're not about to let somebody else determine what happens to us. We're not about to suffer for somebody else's sake. And homes are torn apart, and marriages are torn apart, and families are torn apart, and nations are torn apart. Jesus came to show us, not just to deliver us, but to show us by His own life the way that peace is accomplished, and the way that we live, and the way that we're happy. Possessions don't matter. Position doesn't matter. Power doesn't matter. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're the heirs of all that Christ had. It all belongs to us anyway. Why can't we, during the course of our earthly life, do with life what Jesus did and let it go? Let it go. Die to yourself. Become a servant. Serve. Give. Sacrifice. Love. We're missing it. We're glorifying and praising God because we're going to heaven. And meanwhile, the people that aren't going to heaven are going to go to hell because they hear our message, but they watch our lives. And they don't see any conversion. You know who wrote these words? Who really this outline belongs to? This outline belongs to a preacher. But he's just giving us what Paul said. This is Paul. Do you know that one time Paul lived for possessions? Paul lived for power. Paul lived for authority and position. Go read the next chapter, Philippians chapter 3. And he says, what things were gained to me? Now I've changed. I count them all loss. I count them but dung, but refuse, but garbage. I count it all loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, and I want to enter into the fellowship of His sufferings. What happened to you, Paul? I met Jesus. I heard about Him before, and I misunderstood who He was. Listen to me. Some of you have heard about God. You've read about the God in the Old Testament, and the world knew about God, and the world misinterpreted what they knew about God. So the Son came into the world to show us who God really is. Do you know who God really is? God really is love. God really is compassion. God really is one who gives. You know, the whole world exists. Why? Because He made it. He gave it. What does that tell you about God? Yes, He's authority. Yes, He will punish iniquity and wickedness, but only because you reject His mercy and His grace. He came to show us God. He said, I've come to bear witness to the truth. You're misunderstanding God. I'm going to come and show you God in the flesh so you can understand who God is. And God gives Himself over and over and over again out of a heart of compassion and love for His creation. Do you know Him? How much are we like Him? He lost nothing. He gave it all up voluntarily. But He got it all back. And so shall I. And so shall you if you're willing to believe. Oh, I wish we would get it this morning. We're so full of ourselves. And so afraid that we're going to lose out somehow. You cannot lose. You cannot lose with God. I beg you, think about what you've heard and seen. Think about the message of God becoming a baby. God becoming flesh in the likeness of sinful man. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, along with the Apostle Paul, I would take my place lying prone before You and saying, God, be merciful to me. I'm the chief of sinners. And I have seen this attitude so rampant in my life. I can remember it as a child. I remember it in my youth. I remember it in my adulthood. Something I still battle with and struggle with, and every person in this room no doubt does as well. Would You help us this Christmas day to realize what we've seen and heard in Bethlehem. Oh, may it change our lives forever. Oh, God, may we give up the idea that our lives are made up of what we possess or what position we hold or what power we exercise. May we just take our lives and devote them to you and to others for your name's sake, knowing that all those things will be added unto us in your good pleasure. You will exalt us in due time. Oh God, I pray if there's someone in this room today who's never been born again, never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who came to earth to die in their place and to become their Savior from sin, I pray that today they would bow the knee and open their heart and embrace Jesus Christ as Savior. Would you work in our midst? Do your will, I pray. Everyone standing, every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's stand together. The pianist is going to begin to play. The altar's open here. I'm suspecting that it would be a lot. It would do a world of good, a world of good, if some of you would take somebody that you know in this room by the hand or by the arm and walk to an altar, maybe the first time you ever did it, and kneel and pray together. Ask one another for forgiveness. For squabbling over rights and privileges and power and authority. Asking God to produce in you the Spirit of Christ, who doesn't think it's something to hold on to and seize and snatch away or refuse to give up. You come to this altar and say, God, produce in me the Spirit of your Son, the Lord Jesus, that I may be truly Christ-like.